Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. All right, three of you are in the Christmas spirit. Maybe tomorrow that'll change a little bit. That'd be great. Please join us tonight at 5 o'clock for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. I'm not sure if Josh is going to show up an hour late or not, so you'll want to come to find out if he comes on time. We're just going to have a great time of worship and celebration together. And you think, I can't come because I have kids. We want you to bring your kids and be a part of it. We have a special time just for the children. And so be here tonight for that. Open your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So we walk through this wonderful, wonderful Christmas story. We're going to talk about peace. Talk about that great phrase that the angels said there, peace on earth. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look, starting in verse 8. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning? Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and I'll be reading through verse 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Father, I pray in these few moments that we have this morning that we would not only look into your word, but we would look into our own lives, and that we would see where there might maybe some areas that we need to change so that we look more like you today than ever before. Help us to understand and to apply what your word says to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're going to talk this morning about peace on earth. And the concept of peace is kind of a big one in our world today. In fact, each year on January 1st, the U.S. State Department publishes a report entitled Treaties in Force. This is a list of all the treaties that the United States has entered into and is actively engaged with other countries or groups of countries around the world in order to keep peace. In the current edition, the report is comprised of two sections, the bilateral treaties and the multilateral treaties. You can go and Google it and find it if you want to read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. In Section 1, the bilateral treaties, this report has 49 categories of treaties, 294 different treaties on 491 pages. That's why I'm not reading it to you this morning. In Section 2, the multilateral treaties, this report has an additional 44 treaties on 60 pages. That means that there are 338 treaties on 551 pages that tell us who we're not going to invade, bomb, or shoot. I don't know, if I was in charge, I'd be like, hey, if you don't do stupid things, we're not going to invade, bomb, or shoot you. But we have all these different ways that we say to other countries, we want peace. We want peace with you. We want peace in the world. We want there not be conflict and war. And we would all agree and say, yeah, that's a good thing. We want to make sure that there's peace here on earth. And as we look at this passage here from the angels to the shepherds, we see that phrase there, peace on earth. Peace on earth. And so we're gonna look at a few things this morning talking about peace. Number one, peace and rest have been important concepts since creation. Since the beginning of the world, peace and rest have been a very, very important part of what God has done. In fact, he says in Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. So we see from the very beginning, the first week of time here on earth, that there was this concept of peace, this concept of rest, this concept of, hey, let's just kind of take a pause, let's take a breath, and let's enjoy this while we have it. But then if you look in Genesis chapter 4, and we see that conflict between Cain and Abel, and we see how they both brought sacrifices. One was acceptable, one was not acceptable. And Cain got a little upset. And so he took it out on his brother, and he killed his brother. And God said this in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Then he, that's God, said, "What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that you opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." But Cain answered the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Since you are banishing me today from the face of the earth, I must hide from your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me." You see, the judgment here, the punishment for that crime was that there was no peace in Cain's life. And he says, that's a big deal. I don't want to be restless. I want to have peace. In Jeremiah chapter 30, we see the prophet Jeremiah talking about what was coming with Israel and how in the end times there will be a time, we call it the tribulation, in the Old Testament is referred to as Jacob's trouble or Jacob's sorrow. And he talks about it starting in verse 7. It says, "How awful that day will be. There will be no other like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. On that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will break his yoke from your neck and tear off your chains, and strangers will never again enslave him. They will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. As for you, my servant Jacob, do not be afraid. This is the Lord's declaration. And do not be discouraged, Israel, for without fail, I will save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their captivity. Jacob will return and have calm and quiet with no one to frighten him." And we could go on and on and on and look throughout the Old Testament scriptures about this concept of peace, this concept of shalom, which was this great godly peace and rest where there was no trouble, there was nothing going on in life, there was no conflict. And the people of Israel would read those scriptures and reflect back on one when God rested on that seventh day and yearn for that, desire that in their own hearts. And if we're honest this morning, that's what we want as well, isn't it? We don't want there to be constant conflict and drama. We don't want there to be constant things in our lives that just keep rearing their head up against us. We want there to be peace. We want there to be rest. We want to be able to enjoy what God has given to us. That is something built into us because of what we've just seen right here. And so we see that's an important concept. But here's something else that we need to understand about peace and rest. There is no fear in peace and rest. If we read even in that passage in Jeremiah when it was talking about the armies that would come and how God would save them, it constantly was saying, hey, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. It's going to be okay because there's going to be peace. There's going to be no one there to come against you. There's going to be no one that's going to come up and fight against you. And as we read through the Christmas story, I love the concept here of no fear, of being fearless. If we look at Zechariah, that was John the Baptist's father. And if we look at there in Luke chapter 1, it says this, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense." That would have been awesome to be a part of, don't you think? You go in there and you're doing your priestly duties and all of a sudden, bam, angel of the Lord. No wonder he lost his voice after the whole thing. And it says, and when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. No, duh. All right, I love how understated the Bible is sometimes about things. That an angel showed up and he was terrified. Yeah, I think that's probably his reaction to that. I think that he was probably to the core, couldn't even talk or think, probably fell down and all of those things. And I love what it says. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Oh man, I love that. We don't have to be afraid because of the peace of God in our lives, because we know that he hears us. How awesome is that? How wonderful to know that the moment I even think it, before I can even say it, God hears it. When I'm calling out to him and I'm in that moment of not having peace and not having rest and being fearful, and I call, he's there and he knows it. He hears it. But then we also see Mary. Mary in Luke chapter 1, it says, and the angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement. Again, the understatement of the year when it comes to Scripture. An angel shows up. You're highly favored. I'm deeply troubled. I think so. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There is no fear and peace and rest because not only does he hear us, but because we have found his favor. Guess what? You know why you found his favor? Not because of anything you've done, and not because of who you are. You found his favor because of who he is. Because of his great love and grace and mercy, he looks on us and he says, you got my favor. And so we don't have to be fearful in that. But then also Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but after he considered these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. There is no fear and peace and rest, and we are free to obey. I love when it says that as Joseph was dealing with this situation, and all of a sudden his fiance is pregnant, and he knows it's not his. And he's deciding what to do and how to handle this situation, that God shows up and says, hey, listen, you don't have to be afraid. You can be fearless as you obey. You can be fearless as you obey. And then the shepherds, in this passage that we just read this morning, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. We can be fearless because of the good news of Jesus. Think about this. Here are the shepherds, and they're just out minding their own business, and they're doing shepherd things, whatever that is. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this pitch black night, bam, angel shows up. Gotta tell you something. The Messiah that you've been looking for, he's here, and he's gonna save all the people from their sins. Don't be afraid because of the message of the good news. You see, it is good news for everyone. I love what it says there. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Do you know what you have to do in order to receive God's forgiveness? You have to be alive. If you're breathing, you have an opportunity to respond to the message of Jesus Christ. If you're alive this morning, you have an opportunity to see Jesus for who he is and say, yes, because it is for you. It is for everyone. It is also good news to be proclaimed. We see, first of all, that the angels proclaimed it, and then the shepherds turned around and proclaimed it. You know what that tells me? When we have been touched by the good news of Jesus, it should cause us to be fearless as we proclaim what we've experienced. We'll get to it in just a minute, but later on in this passage, it said the shepherds went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and then they left, and they were telling everybody. Don't you think? I mean, this morning, if a bunch of angels showed up in here, and we could, I mean, they're already here, but if they showed up and we could see them, we walked out of here, do you think we would maybe tell a person or two? I think we probably would. I think it'd be all over the place. We'd have it all over social media. We'd be telling our neighbors and our friends and our family. We'd be picking up the phone and calling people and texting people and saying, listen, something incredible happened. God showed up today. Can I tell you something? God shows up every day, everywhere. It's a message for us to go and proclaim. And number three, it's good news of God's love. You know why we have the Christmas story? We have the Christmas story because God loves you. God loves you. God even loves me. That's why we have the Christmas. That's why we can have these decorations. That's why we have this time of year that we gather together and we celebrate and we enjoy family and we enjoy fellowship and we can worship the Savior. It's because He loves you. The story of Christmas, the story of the gospel is the good news of God's love. And guess what? When it comes to love, there's no fear in that. In fact, John said this in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Let me ask you this question. If you're sitting here this morning, and you say, yes, I know that I'm a believer in Jesus. I put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone to forgive me and save me. If that's you this morning, can I ask you this question? Do you believe that God loves you? Hopefully you say yes. So if we believe that God loves us, do we think that He would lead us in a direction that would not be for our benefit or for His glory? Do we think that He would lead us in some way just to torment us? To mess with us? To cause us to have troubles? No. What does this verse say? There's no fear in love. Because perfect love, that's God's love, it drives out fear. It drives out fear. That means we can be fearless as we pursue Jesus. We can be fearless as we obey Jesus. We can be fearless as we proclaim Jesus. Number three, we understand that there's no fear and peace and rest, but did you know that we cannot create peace and rest? Our country, our government has a document of 300 and whatever I said it was, 38 different treaties that we tell people around the world, hey, we're not going to be stupid if you don't be stupid, right? We're trying to artificially create peace and rest. In fact, in the end times, I love this. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 5, about the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The constant cry of our world is peace and safety. That's the cry of our governments, our countries, and as us as individuals. That we want peace, we want safety. And in the end times, one of the things that happens is just when mankind thinks we have finally arrived, we've done it, that's when it all comes crashing down and they will experience the righteous judgment of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, as this story was being written, Israel was under control of the Roman Empire, Roman government. And you may have heard the phrase Pax Romana before, which means peace in Rome. It lasted for approximately 206 years in the Roman Empire from 27 BC to 180 AD. It started when Caesar Augustus became emperor and it ended at the conclusion of Marcus Aurelius's reign. And the thought was that all through the Roman Empire, there was no conflict. That wasn't exactly true. It was more of a propaganda than actual truth. But it was a very peaceful time in the world. But the Stoic philosopher, whatever his name is, said, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. Time and time again, we try our best to have a false peace. We try to create something that only God can do. And so we see during that time that the Roman Empire, the Greek philosophy, and even the Jewish religion could not create peace. They tried, but they couldn't do it. Do you know that even today we try to create peace artificially in our lives? We do it in a number of ways. Number one, we control our schedules. We think, all right, if I can just do this and this and this and this, then everything's going to be really good, and we create this false sense of peace in our lives. We have this schedule, or maybe we limit our interaction with people to only our type of people. Well, I know that if I go near Brent Fincham, that there's going to be conflict, and so I just won't go near him. This is not true, okay? Just I want you to know that, okay? But if I go near his type of person, so I need to stay away from that, and I can create this peace in my life. But the other thing we do is we self-medicate with substances such as drugs and alcohol and sex and pornography, distractions in our lives to get us away from the main thought of what's really happening in our lives, and that is we desire Jesus. And we just try to fill in with all these other things. And the truth of the matter is that not only do we desire Jesus, but at the same time, we resist him. You know why? Because we're stupid. Jesus, the Bible calls us time and time again sheep. You know why? Sheep are very, very dumb animals. And so a lot of times we look at that and we're like, oh, God thinks I'm like a little lamb. No, he looks at us like, you're stupid. There's no way around it. You're just really dumb. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? We're all that person who's like, okay, I'm going to show up to church and I hear all these right things. Okay, I'm going to be this. And then we like get out into the parking lot and like our kid looks at us wrong and like, you know, you turn green and you bulk up with muscles and all that happens, you know, with the Incredible Hulk there. And it goes, everything you just thought about 6 seconds ago goes right out the window. Because we're stupid like that. And we try to create these distractions so that we have this man-made peace and rest. But what we really need, what we really desire, what we really crave is relationship with Jesus. And I don't mean churchianity. I mean real relationship with Jesus. A relationship that is fearless. A relationship that says, I'm going to put everything I have into the basket of Jesus. I don't have a backup plan. I don't have option B. It's Jesus or nothing, because I believe so strongly in who he is and what he has done that I'm saying, here it is. I'm going all in. I'm going to be fearless for him and allow him to carry me in peace and rest. That's what we actually need. You know where we get all messed up? Is when we say, all right, I'm going to put a couple eggs over here with the Jesus thing, but I'm going to put most of it over here because I think I probably got a better handle on this life than Jesus does. Now, we would never come into church and say that. But that's exactly what we say with our lives, isn't it? We say, yeah, I want peace, so I'm going to give me just a little bit of Jesus over here to make it, you know, good. I can check off my box, but really I'm kind of right here. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of all the things that I need. But here's the truth, church. Peace and rest come only from God. Look back there in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Now, I have a couple questions about this passage right here. The first one is this. It says there was a multitude of the heavenly host. So there's an angel choir. I want to know how many angels showed up. You know what I think? This is just me. I can't find this in Scripture anywhere, but this is just me. I think they all came. You know why I think that? You know what the angel's job is? To worship and glorify God. And so when they had the opportunity to be visible to mankind, I don't know if they did a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center like we do or not, but if so, man, they filled that thing up time and time again, and they all showed up, and they're like, I'm in. I'm going. I don't care because I get an opportunity to praise God where people are going to see. I'm in for that. They were all about that. And I think that would have been an incredible thing to be a shepherd on that hillside. Don't you think that? And watch that happen. Be absolutely terrified by it. But to also be like, I don't know what just happened, but that was awesome. That was incredible. But the truth is, the lack of peace that we all experience has nothing to do with governments, wars, poverty, famine, relationships, or anything similar. The lack of peace that we all experience comes from sin and separation from God. We see that in our lives before relationship with Jesus, and we see that in our lives after relationship with Jesus. That lack of peace, that lack of rest comes because we're not in right relationship with Almighty God. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We could spend a whole lot of time on those verses right there. We don't have time for it. But basically, this is what he's saying. Hey, listen, if you're living for yourself, you're living in your flesh because either you don't have a relationship with Jesus or you do have a relationship with Jesus and you just don't care and you're doing your own thing, the bottom line is you're never going to experience peace and rest because that mindset cannot please God. It's hostile towards God. And then Jesus himself said this in John chapter 3, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed." You know why people have problem with the Bible and with Jesus? Because it shows them who they are. If you open up Scripture, and there's never a point in time where you're looking at something and you're like, oh, man, that one just hit me right in the back of the head like a 2x4 right there. You know what you're doing? You're skipping over things, or you don't have a relationship with him. Because the Word of God is convicting. The Word of God is perfect. And so when we look at that, and we see all of those things in Scripture, this is who the holy man of God is. This is who the righteous woman of God is. And we look at those things, and we look at ourselves, and we don't see it line up. You know what we usually like to do is we like to throw the Bible away and say, nah, I don't believe that. That's an old translation. That doesn't work for me. When really what we need to be doing is looking into our own hearts and lives, because it is the light that shines into our hearts. And just like Jesus said right here, he said, we hate the dark, not the light, because the light exposes us. And the darkness hides us. And Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4 says this, "For the wicked one boasts about his own cravings. The one who is greedy curses and despises the Lord. In all his scheming, the wicked person arrogantly thinks there's no accountability since there's no God." The lack of peace that we experience comes because we don't have right relationship with God. By the way, these verses right here in Psalm 10, does that not describe our world today? I can do what I want. You do you, I'll do me. Who's to say that what you say is right is right? I think what I say is right is right, and you can't tell me any different. You know why we do that? It's so that we can feel better about the bad, stupid things that we do. God desires to bring his peace into your life. You see, peace and rest only come from God, and so he, this morning, regardless of your relationship status with Jesus, he is standing here in front of you this morning, desiring to bring his peace and his rest into your life, no matter what's happening in your life. No matter the good, no matter the bad, no matter the ugly, no matter the sinful, none of that matters. He does it because of who he is. He wants to bring it into your life. Look at this verse, most famous verse in Scripture. "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Oh man, what a beautiful and powerful verse of God saying, here's what I did for you. I stepped out of heaven. I stepped onto the earth so that you could have peace and rest in your life. Now, you need to understand something. Just because our relationship with God is right, just because we have experienced God's peace and rest in our life, does not mean that everything in life is going to be perfect and awesome and smooth. But it means we can rely on God in the midst of that which is unperfect, imperfect, and unsmooth. That regardless of what's happening, regardless of the road that we're walking, regardless of the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, whatever's going on, in the midst of it, you can still have his peace and rest. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes this: everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against him, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Part of the role of God's peace and rest in our lives is reconciliation. We read earlier that if we have our mindset on the flesh, on the temporary, that we have hostility towards God. We have enmity towards God. You know what God is saying? Part of my peace and rest is reconciliation, making it right. Here's the good news. He does all the work. He does all the work. We just have to believe. And we think, well, yeah, I believed many years ago. I put my faith in. No. It is a day by day by day, moment by moment by moment process of believing again that Jesus is who he said he is. He did what he said he did. And I can put all of my eggs in that basket, because he's never failed anyone. And you are not important enough for him to start with you. He wants to reconcile relationship with you. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's walking through here and to the people in Israel who had this concept of peace and rest all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. He's saying, hey, listen, you walk with me, you get rest. You walk with me, you find that what your soul has been longing for, I will give it to you. So what does that mean for me? If I'm a believer in Jesus, I can put all of my fears and doubts, struggles and sins squarely on Jesus' shoulders. That's it. If I'm already a believer, guess what? Throw it all in. All of the anxiety, all of the doubts, all of the worry, all of the sin, all of the struggle, all of the physical problems, emotional, relationship, family, all of it. Throw it in on Jesus. He's big enough to carry it. And he'll give you rest. But if I'm not yet a believer in Jesus, I can put all of my faith in him that he will give me the peace and the rest that I am longing for. You know what my prayer is for people who don't yet trust in Jesus? My prayer is that you will be restless until you find him. My prayer is that you will go to bed at night just struggling with this idea of Jesus until you say, I believe in him. Until you find reconciliation. Number five, last thing, we got to go quick here. God's peace and rest should lead us to obediently proclaiming his glory to everyone we meet. Look back at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's hang out here for a few minutes. No. What does it say? Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. When the shepherds experienced God's peace and rest, they immediately went on mission for him. First thing is that they obediently went right away to Bethlehem. You know what they didn't do? They didn't have a little prayer meeting. They didn't get a committee together to see if they should do it. They obeyed. There are certain things that we never, ever have to pray about. One of those is obeying. We never have to pray about whether or not I should do what the Word of God says. Hey, it's not like we open it up and we see in there, I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart. And I say, oh, I really need to do that. Lord, show me a sign. Give me a sign on that. It's there. It's black and white. It's plain. We don't ever have to worry about that. They obediently went right away to Bethlehem. Number two, they shared the message about Jesus. You know what else you don't have to pray about? Telling people about Jesus. Now, you can pray and ask God for opportunities, but you never have to pray whether it's right or not. You never have to pray and say, God, I'm not sure if I should tell someone about Jesus. You should. You just should. And you should be praying for those opportunities and that you'd be bold and fearless to take them. And then number three, they glorified and praised God for his message of salvation. You know what these shepherds knew? By the way, the shepherds, not theologians. The shepherds actually at this time in history were low-class citizens. They were the dirty, smelly, hung out in the woods and in the fields and didn't really have a lot of manners or whatever. And God, that's who God went to. I'm so grateful for that because that means that we, specifically me, have an opportunity to do what the shepherds did. If God only went to the elite of the elite, guess what? That wipes most of us out. We look at that and say, that's not me. We can be just like, but they were excited that they had an opportunity to be a part of the message of salvation, so they glorified and praised God for that message. Here's another thing you don't have to pray about, worshiping God. Never have to pray about it, we just do it. We do it here corporately, we do it at home, in our personal time of worship. We don't have to pray about those things, we just do it. That's exactly what the shepherds did. They were obedient and they went on mission because they had experienced the peace of God. What are our four takeaways this morning? Number one, there is no fear in God's peace and rest. Listen, if God's calling you to do something, let me share a word with you that it was shared with many, many, many people throughout Scripture. Here it is. You ready? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You say, yeah, but you don't know what God's calling me to. He's calling me to teach a connect group. Don't be afraid. Yeah, but he's telling me that I need to be more vocal in my witness. Don't be afraid. He's telling me that I need to leave the context I'm in and go somewhere else so I can be on mission for him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is no fear in God's peace and rest. Number two, am I trying to artificially create peace rather than to rely on God's peace? And if so, in what ways? In what ways am I self-medicating so that I feel okay about myself? Stop that. Just go all in with God. Take everything that you have, everything that you struggle with, everything that you love, everything that you hate, everything, and just put it in on Jesus. Let him handle it. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to recreate it yourself. Number three, only God brings true peace and rest. I need to daily lean into him to fill that void in my life. You know how you lean into Jesus? You spend time with him. Daily. Just take his word. Don't read it so fast that you can just check it off, but just soak it in. And then read some more and pray and meditate and lean in and take everything you have and have honest conversation with him and say, God, here's where I struggle. He already knows. He's waiting on you to be obedient. And then number four, what am I doing with his peace and rest in my life? Am I like the shepherds? Am I like the shepherds who, when they experienced God's peace and rest, obeyed right away? Or am I like King Herod that we talked about last week? That there was that false worship that took place. I don't know about you. For me, I want to be like the shepherds. I want to be the ones that are saying, man, I just experienced something. I got to do something with it. God, thank you for today and thank you for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to us even today because it is alive. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that for every single one of us, that we would know and experience your peace and rest in our lives. Lord, for the ones this morning that their marriage is struggling, there's conflict in the home, would you help them to lean into you and to place their marriage, their family, totally and completely on you? Lord, for the ones that are dealing with physical problems and the anxiousness and the worry that comes with that, would you help them to place it on you? For those that have just been so busy through this Christmas season, would you help them to just stop and lean into you and experience your peace and rest? Lord, for the one who's here this morning that has never believed in you, God, may their restlessness drive them to say yes to you, to believe in you, to put their faith in you. God, the greatest gift ever given was the gift of Jesus. And the greatest way that we can respond is by saying yes to you. And so, Father, this morning on the day before Christmas, when we're going to gather as friends and family to open and exchange presents and to enjoy company and food together, may we just pause this morning and put everything on you. So, church, right now, in the quietness of this moment, if you're a believer in here this morning, is there something that you're needing God's peace and rest for? Would you just put it all on Him? Whatever that issue is, whatever that struggle is, whatever that hardship is, He knows. Would you just put it on Him? If you're not a believer in here this morning, the most important thing you can ever hear is that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He died to become your sin so that you could become His righteousness. And He's standing here this morning saying, come to me and I will give you rest. So just like the Apostle Paul in that passage in 2 Corinthians 5 that we read, I'm going to beg you to be reconciled to God this morning. I beg you, don't walk out of here without saying yes to Him. You say, how do I do that? Just believe. The Bible says, if we believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. And so just in the quietness of your heart this morning, you can whisper something like this to Jesus. It doesn't have to be these words, but just something like this. Jesus, I'm restless. And I desire peace and rest. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were buried and rose again. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Friend, if you just prayed something like that this morning, the Bible says that you have for the first time experienced God's peace and rest. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing this final song. And Pastor Josh is going to be right down here on your right-hand side. I'll be right down here on your left-hand side. Would you just come up during this song and just say, I just prayed that. We would love to talk with you and share it with you. Believer, maybe there's something you need to come and kneel at the altar and pray about. Maybe you need to kneel at your seat and deal with that in your own life. Would you do that this morning? Father, I pray that you would help us to be obedient, not only in this moment, but in the days and the weeks and the years to come, to do whatever you've laid on our hearts, that you've given us a want to deep inside. Help us to not say no to you this morning. In Jesus' name.